Afternoon, everyone. It is still December 4th. It's the afternoon meeting of the Portland City Council. Carla, please call the roll.
Are you Daly?
I'm here.
Fritz?
I'm here.
Fish?
Here.
Hardesty Wheeler?
Here and aged 2 hours since you saw me last. And now we'll hear from legal counsel on the rules of order and decorum. Good afternoon.
Welcome to the Portland City Council. The City Council represents all Portlanders and meets to do the city's business. The presiding officer preserves order and decorum during City Council meetings so everyone can feel welcome, comfortable, respected, and safe. To participate in council meetings, you may sign up in advance with the council clerk's office for communications to briefly speak about any subject. You may also sign up for public testimony.
Council, could you do it a little closer to the mic?
Sure. You may also, is that better?
It still isn't very loud.
Try again.
And read it with meaning.
Is your mic on?
It is. Let's try this. Better?
That's good. That's excellent. Thank you.
You may also sign up for public testimony on resolutions or the first readings of ordinances. Your testimony should address the matter being considered at the time. If it does not, you may be ruled out of order. When testifying, please state your name for the record. Your address is not necessary. Please disclose if you are a lobbyist. If you are representing an organization, please identify it. The presiding officer determines the length of testimony. Individuals generally have 3 minutes to testify unless otherwise stated. When you have 30 seconds left, a yellow light goes on. When your time is done, a red light goes on. If you are in the audience and would like to show your support for something that is said, please feel free to do a thumbs up. If you want to express that you do not support something, please feel free to do a thumbs down. Please remain seated in council chambers unless entering or exiting. If you are filming the proceedings, please do not use bright lights or disrupt the meeting. Disruptive conduct, such as shouting or interrupting testimony or council deliberations, will not be allowed. If there are disruptions, a warning will be given that further disruption may result in the person being ejected for the remainder of the meeting. After being ejected, a person who fails to leave the meeting is subject to arrest for trespass. Thank you for helping your fellow Portlanders feel welcome, comfortable, respected, and safe.
Fantastic. Thank you. First time certain item, Carla's item number 1123.
Mm-hmm. Direct all city bureaus to transition from gas-powered to electric and or battery-operated leaf blowers.
Commissioner Fish.
Thank you, Mayor. And before we get started, Mayor, we have some, looks like we have some guests. Former Metro President Tom Hughes, Professor Richard Klukas. Would you like to tell us who's joining us today?
Welcome.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. I'm Richard Klukas.
Who are our guests today, Richard?
The guests are students from Portland State University, class on Oregon politics, upper division political science students primarily.
Oh, welcome, everybody.
Terrific. Thank you for being here. Hey, Tom, it's good seeing you again. Commissioner Fish.
Thank you, Mayor. I was so excited about this particular item that's before us today that I forgot to shave this morning. I recycled that joke.
Recently.
Still good. Still good.
I want to apologize in advance. I've got a little strain in my voice. I hope I can still be heard, but it's a temporary thing. Well, we have an all-star lineup. We have a strong resolution. We have a lot of momentum, and it's my honor to kick things off this afternoon. Colleagues, I'm very pleased to bring forth this resolution today directing city bureaus to transition to electric and or battery operated leaf blowers. Across the nation, we have seen a shift towards regulating gas powered leaf blowers. Over 100 cities, including Washington, D.C., and Los Angeles have some form of leaf blower ban or regulation. The city of Portland has code through Civic Life, which provides general operating and noise restrictions for the use of leaf blowers. But it's not enough. We're in a climate crisis, and in 2017, the city and Multnomah County pledged to transition to renewable energy by 2050. This resolution is a small step in the right direction. A study in 2011 found that using a two-stroke gas-powered leaf blower for 30 minutes emitted about the same amount of greenhouse gases as a 3,900-mile drive in a Ford F-150 pickup.
What?
As we'll hear from our invited testimony, gas-powered leaf blowers pollute our environment. They are bad for the health of the operator and the public, and they are a noise nuisance. This resolution directs bureaus to transition to handheld blowers to electric or battery operated by January 1, 2021. When the technology becomes available, bureaus will also transition backpack blowers as well. Beginning early in the new year, we will set up a working group who will be tasked with finding an equitable path towards a citywide transition in the future. Here today to further introduce the resolution is my policy director, Asena Lawrence, who will then introduce the panel. Asena, welcome.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler and commissioners. My name is Asena Lawrence, and I am Commissioner Fish's director. As each of you know all too well, we are in a climate crisis, which is wreaking havoc on our planet. In our lifetimes, we have seen global temperatures rise, resulting in massive storms, fires in the Arctic tundra, and species extinction. The predictions of scientists for our future are bleak unless we take immediate action. Fortunately, Portland has been and continues to be a national leader in green energy and in green technology. We as local government and we as Portlanders are environmentally conscious and are committed to looking at innovative ways to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and our carbon footprint. Fighting climate change takes a multifaceted approach, from large-scale changes reflected in the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, the Paris Accords, to smaller ones, such as banning plastic bags in Portland, cutting down our use of single-use cutlery and straws, and transitioning our city fleet to electric and hybrid automobiles. Each step, large and small, is important in reducing greenhouse gas emissions and creating a more sustainable future. We're proud to bring forth this resolution, which directs city bureaus to transition to electric and/or battery-operated leaf blowers. Gas-powered leaf blowers are harmful to the environment, to public health, and to the operator's health. They emit harmful chemicals, greenhouse gases. They produce high levels of noise, of which prolonged exposure can contribute to permanent hearing loss. This resolution directs bureaus to transition to electric and/or battery-operated handheld leaf blowers by January 1st, 2021. It also directs bureaus to transition backpack blowers, which is a common model of leaf blowers, as soon as the technology advances to meet the bureau's needs. Currently, we are told by bureau staff that the technology is just not there yet, but that it's rapidly improving and will be there soon. There are five bureaus that we know of that use leaf blowers: Parks, the Bureau of Environmental Services, Transportation, Water, and Fire. Combined, there are a total of nearly 300 leaf blowers. They're used for a variety of tasks, from residential-like purposes of simply blowing leaves around fire stations, to more intense, prolonged use in remote natural areas in Portland, to removing leaves and debris in construction sites from PBOT. The cost to transition blowers will vary depending on the bureau's needs. Electric and battery-operated blowers have a reputation of being more expensive, but they do not rely on gasoline or gasoline-oil combination for fuel and are thus arguably less expensive in the long run than gas-powered blowers. And some bureaus, Parks and PBOT especially, have already started transitioning their blower inventory. After speaking with our two bureaus, BES and Parks, have committed to further transitions. Parks will transition their Community Gardens Program backpack blower inventory by January 1st, 2021, and BES has committed to transitioning their blower inventory as well, which are only backpacks, by January 1st, 2021. They will also hold their contractors to the same standards as their staff. The city has existing code language restricting the use of leaf blowers in specific zones by time of day and the sound decibel level within Portland's boundaries. A code can be found on Civic Life's website and will not be impacted by this resolution. Rather, this resolution reinforces the code. Beginning in the new year, we will form a working group with stakeholders from various fields, including health specialists, community advocates, minority day laborer organizations, city staff, and others, to consider an equitable citywide transition in the future. And with that, I'm pleased to introduce our panelists. Our first panel will include Commissioner Vega Peterson and Jason Trobley, the Legislative Director to Representative Alyssa Kenny Geyer. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Welcome. Thanks for being here.
Hi. Good afternoon. Thanks for coming back for the afternoon session. Thank you, Mayor Wheeler and commissioners, for taking on this issue, and especially thank you to Commissioner Fish for your leadership on this really important public health and livability issue. For the record, my name is Jessica Vega Peterson. I'm the Multnomah County Commissioner for District 3, which includes much of East and Southeast Portland. I'm here today to voice my very strong support for this resolution before you, which begins the process of transitioning our community away from harmful gas-powered leaf blowers. I have to say that for all the work that I had done on climate issues, on getting coal out of our energy mix, on making pushing us to use cleaner fuels for transportation, I was actually very surprised to learn about the devastating impacts that gas-powered leaf blowers have on our health and our air quality. And I want to thank a lot of the community members who are here today who have done so much work on advocating for this issue. Bringing it to my attention was one of those things that made me realize that there are steps that we can take locally to really look at this issue and the impacts that it's having on our community. The step that you're taking today, as has been stated, is one that dozens and dozens of other communities around this nation have taken similar steps because of the seriousness of this issue. As we know, gas-powered leaf blowers emit high levels of particulate matter that lead to poor air quality, mainly because of the cheap and inefficient two-stroke engines that are used on most models. And studies have shown that up to 30% of the fuel that's in those leaf blowers actually fails to combust, which means that they are exhausted in extremely harmful polluting emissions. The devices also harm our climate at a time when we are faced with a dire need to aggressively combat the pollutions of greenhouse gases. To build on what Commissioner Fish had stated earlier, a 2011 study by the car reviewer Edmunds found that you would have to drive a Ford Raptor pickup truck 235 miles, stopping every 505 seconds to do a cold restart, to emit the same level of hydrocarbons as idling a two-stroke leaf blower for less than 10 seconds.
Wow.
We also know, I know, that's incredible. We also know that the noise pollution from these devices can harm the operator as well as any bystanders within earshot. Experts say that any noise above 91 decibels can be hazardous, and studies have shown that leaf blowers emit noise that can rise above 100 decibels at the operator's ear. And we also know that these numbers don't tell the full story. The types of the sound waves that are emitted by leaf blowers have been shown to travel farther and penetrate physical barriers, as anybody who has been indoors when there's a leaf blower going outside can attest to. We at Multnomah County have been entrusted as our community's public health authority, and we take that responsibility very seriously. We're currently undergoing a process to identify what actions we can take to protect and improve our community's health, and I'll be working alongside our partners at the city to include the impacts of gas-powered leaf blowers in that analysis. I welcome and support the step that you're taking today, and I'm eager to work alongside you to develop a process that phases out the use of these leaf blowers in our community in a way that is equitable and that serves to ensure our community is healthy. Thank you for stepping up and taking this action today, and thank you for this opportunity to testify.
Thank you. And Commissioner Vega Peterson, I also want to thank you for highlighting the impact of wood smoke fires as well. I know the county took an important step yesterday due to the air quality problems here in the community in putting a ban on those, and that's generated a lot of conversation, a lot of discussion, and helped inform people about the real impact, particularly when we have an adverse climate day. So I want to acknowledge that and thank you for that leadership as well.
Thank you.
Hello.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler and commissioners. My name is Jason Trombley, and I serve as the Legislative Director for State Representative Alyssa Kenny Geyer. Thank you to Commissioner Fish's office for the opportunity to provide some insights on what was then House Bill 3350 during the recent legislative session, which addressed gas-powered leaf blowers. Today's remarks, I hope, will address two items related to the bill, in particular note for when your work group convenes in the new year, both the context behind the legislation as well as some lessons learned from this work as both Portland and Multnomah County work to develop local ordinances. First, some context. The bill was a response to energy from constituents earlier in the year at a town hall with Representatives Kenny Geyer, Smith Warner, as well as Senator Dembro. As a representative with a public health background, Rep. Kenny Geyer underscored the health impacts of this issue in her testimony to the House Committee on Energy and Environment on June 18th, noting that studies have shown that, quote, regular exposure to loud noise can cause cardiovascular disease, hypertension, frequent headaches, and increased stress on the body. Two-cycle gasoline-powered leaf blowers contribute as well to air pollution. She noted that populations such as children, the elderly, and asthmatics face greater risk exposure of particulates, especially in the summer months, as speed of leaf blowers increase and windows are open. As stated earlier by Commissioner Fish, over 100 cities across the country, including Washington, D.C., have implemented ordinances related to gas-powered leaf blowers. Second is guidance for both City Council and Multnomah County governments. As both the city and county move forward with assessing their next steps, I'd like to offer a few points considered based on our work in the committee discussion on June 18th. First is alignment with federal laws. During the June 18th hearing, advocate Mary Pivito smartly noted that future efforts to address this issue must and should align with the Federal Clean Air Act. I want to thank her for explicitly calling out an important element as this work develops. Second, for an adopted and enforced ordinance to truly benefit all communities, the process to develop it, engage impact parties, and the language itself must be centered around a thoughtful, intentional racial equity and social justice approach applied through both the City of Portland's Racial Equity Toolkit and Multnomah County's Equity and Empowerment Lens. For example, an important benefit to phasing out two-stroke gas-powered leaf blowers that is often raised is the positive impact on landscape workers, noting that a number of the workers are communities of color or immigrant communities. What should also be asked or assessed is to what extent are the landscape companies owned by minorities, women, or emerging small businesses? How do we ensure that they have the capital needed to upgrade their equipment? Additionally, in some neighborhoods, like mine in Portsmouth and Kenton, or the Lentz neighborhood in Representative Kenny Geyer's district, some residents rent equipment from their neighborhood tool libraries because we either don't own them, can't afford them, or there isn't a store close by in their neighborhood where you can actually purchase one. Thoughtful, intentional engagement is essential to ensure that possible ordinances at the city and county level actually support and benefit everybody. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our second panel will include Michelle Krim, the city's Chief Sustainability Officer, and Brian Stewart, Community Advocate.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much, Mayor Wheeler, Commissioners. I'm Michelle Krim, the city's Chief Sustainability Officer in the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. As you know, Portland's response to climate change is not new. The investments that have helped us to reduce carbon emissions are the same things that make people want to live, work, and play here. Creating walkable neighborhoods with shopping, restaurants, and parks, investing in transit, sidewalks, and bikeways, protecting and restoring natural areas, making our homes and buildings more efficient and comfortable. However, the climate change has gone from a challenge to a crisis. We only have a handful of years to take bold actions to dramatically reduce our carbon emissions, but that not only dramatically reduce our carbon emissions, but that also provide benefits to communities on the front lines of climate change, specifically communities of color and low-income populations. We need to cut local carbon emissions in half by 2030. And that sounds like it's a ways away, but it's only 10 years, and we're currently only at a 15% reduction. So we have our work cut out for us. And by 2050, we need to get those carbon emissions down to zero in order to avoid the most catastrophic impacts of climate change. In order to achieve that goal, we need to replace gas-powered equipment, all of the gas-powered equipment in our community, by 2050. And the resolution before you today is an important step because it means the city will do a better job of walking our talk, as well as setting an important example for others to follow. In addition, moving to electric leaf blowers is an important behavior and procurement change that could be transferable to other gas-powered equipment used within city bureaus. As has been mentioned, besides climate, air quality and worker safety benefits are also important. These two-stroke engines are less efficient and result in higher emissions of particulate matter, volatile organic compounds, and nitrogen oxides, especially in the older equipment. These air pollutants can have acute health impacts, and they both contribute to ozone, which is also harmful to our health. And ozone has been on an increasing trend here in Portland due to vehicle emissions, increased sunny hot days in the summer, and forest fires. Emission decreases across all ozone precursors is a move in the right direction. The co-benefit of decreased noise pollution is also a bonus for the health of Portlanders. Although it's difficult to quantify the health impacts of the many sources of noise pollution in the urban landscape, we know that noise from leaf blowers at low frequencies can travel far. That noise is at best a nuisance for people nearby and at worst a real safety concern, particularly for workers, including city employees, that are exposed to the noise of leaf blowers on a regular basis. So for all of these reasons, the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability is in support of the resolution before you today. It's an important leadership step towards advancing bolder community-wide action in the future, and the Bureau is excited to help the implementation of this resolution in any way that we can. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and members of the council. My name is Brian Stewart. I represent Quiet Clean PDX, and I'd like to bring your attention to the presentation that we have for you. I don't know if you're able to see that. Are you able to see that? I'm going to be comparing the performance of gas-powered leaf blowers to battery-powered models, some technical information. It's all information that's readily available from equipment manufacturers, the EPA, and other government health agencies. I'm going to focus primarily on backpack leaf blowers, that style, because they pose the most serious threat to the safety of workers and the public. It's well documented, it's been mentioned, that gas blowers emit high quantities of pollutants, toxic chemicals, and fine particulates. They're all known to increase the risk of cancer, respiratory, and cardiovascular and neurological diseases. Workers operating gas blowers are exposed to high quantities of these toxic pollutants, often for several hours per day. Gas blowers do not have the pollution controls that automobiles have. They are far more polluting than cars. 1 hour of gas blower operation creates equivalent pollution to driving a car for over thousands of miles, 1,000 miles. And battery-powered models emit none of these dangerous pollutants. Gas blowers also produce carbon emissions at about 12 pounds per hour of use. This adds up to thousands of pounds per year. So using a gas blower for several hours a day produces a volume of carbon emissions similar to an automobile. Battery blowers produce 25 times fewer carbon emissions, and when charged with what we know to be readily available renewable energy here in Portland, they will produce zero carbon emissions. Auditory health organizations agree that sound becomes dangerous over 70 decibels, and above 85 decibels, even minutes of exposure will cause permanent hearing loss. The City of Portland noise ordinance for leaf blowers sets limits on noise levels to 65 decibels for year-round use, increasing to 70 for fall and winter use. These limits provide protection to workers and the public from dangerous levels of noise. This slide shows why we have a gas-powered leaf blower problem and why noise limits are an essential part of the regulation process to control that. You can see that the vast majority of backpack-style gas blowers that are sold today far exceed even the fall and winter limits. Some of them are 8 to 16 times noisier than what is allowed. And as you all know, these tools are used year-round. As gas blowers produce more force, they get louder. The quest for more power and productivity has led the maintenance industry to embrace tools that are dangerously loud and pose serious health risks to their workers. Battery blowers, on the other hand, are much quieter, and you can see that they are equally as powerful as the legal gas blowers, which is kind of a myth-busting thing here that's important to note. The initial equipment costs for both types of equipment are comparable. The real difference is the cost of fuel. Gasoline varies, gasoline versus electricity and batteries. A gas blower will cost over $2 per hour to operate, which adds up to thousands of dollars per year in fuel costs. Due to the efficient electric motors, battery blowers are 30 times cheaper to operate per hour. Batteries, however, are expensive. But even when you include the cost of the batteries, battery blowers will cost half as much as gas blowers to operate over time. I hope this information makes it clear that gas-powered leaf blowers are dangerous tools, especially to the workers who operate them. Safe, cost-effective, and powerful alternatives are readily available, which have none of the harmful impacts of gas blowers. I urge you to enact this resolution, but also to push for stronger local regulations that protect workers and the public from these dangerous machines. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ryan, thank you very much. Thank you both.
Council, I'd like to thank your bureaus for kindly answering my many questions about leaf blowers and their inventories. And with that, we've concluded our presentation.
Thank you, Gary.
So if there are any questions from council now, we can take them. And we also have further testimony.
So I'd like to offer a friendly amendment to the resolution. I believe council has copies, and I'll put some over here for the community. Commissioner Fish and Ms. Lawrence already put in, be it further resolved, that city bureaus and city contractors do not and shall not blow leaves and other debris onto neighboring properties. I would like to add, or onto sidewalks or into the street, except on leaf collection days in leaf collection areas. And the city encourages Portland residents to do the same.
We accept that as a friendly amendment.
Thank you. I'm hoping that this policy, while it currently only addresses city bureaus, I'm hoping it will lead to a citywide ban on leaf blowers. So I'd like to set the expectation that it's really not okay to take your blower, whether it's an electric or a gas, and blow the leaves where somebody else has to take care of them, or worse yet, in most areas of the city that don't even have leaf pickup, that they just accumulate, clog the sewers, and really cause hazards for cyclists and other street users. So that's the impetus behind this. Just this morning, I saw somebody across the street blowing dust and small amounts of leaves into the street, into the streetcar. It's and the max. It's rude, is what it is. It's just downright rude behavior, and it needs to stop.
Mayor.
Commissioner Udaly.
Well, I'd just like to add my support to Commissioner Fritz's comments about the desire for an eventual citywide ban. Multnomah County has the worst air quality in the state, and Portland has some of the worst air quality of any major city in the world, which is absolutely hard to believe. It's so beautiful. It doesn't look as smoggy as Beijing, but it's really bad. And I hope we can act. This is a great step forward. I hope that we continue to take swift action.
And legal counsel, we can accept that as a friendly amendment, or does it require a motion and a second?
As long as there's no objection,
there seems
council
to be no objection, so we'll take it as a friendly amendment. Thank you.
So with that, Mayor, we'll move to testimony.
All right, Carla, how many people do we have signed up?
Oh, we have 8 people.
Good. Thank you.
Okay, the first 3, please come on up, are Alan Flint, Mary Peverb, and Michael Hall.
And folks, the microphone slide around about 6 inches. Is the right amount of distance. And when you have 30 seconds left in your 3 minutes, you'll see a yellow light. When your time is up, it goes to red. And I would ask that you please seize your testimony at that time. Would you like to go ahead and start for us?
Sure.
Thank you, sir.
My name is Adam Flint, and I also have a cough, so I'm working through it. My name is Adam Flint, and I'm here this afternoon presenting testimony on behalf of the Oregon Landscape Contractors Association. Today I'm submitting the testimony I'm about to give along with the association's position paper on the use of gas-powered backpack blowers in the National Association of Landscape Professions and Outdoor Power Equipment Institute Backpack Blower Safe and Reasonable Use Pledge. Many landscape contractors in Oregon are beginning to adopt battery-powered small engine equipment. The technology still falls short in terms of power and runtime and is significantly more expensive than traditional gas-powered small engines. However, looking at the track record of technological development of battery equipment over the last 5 years, we are confident runtime, power, and cost should equal gas-powered equipment within the next 5 years. Similar to automobiles, the development of vehicles like Tesla is exciting, but not economically viable for all transportation use at this time. As with vehicles, the evolution of this technology gives us great hope gas-powered landscape maintenance engines will be replaced with battery-powered in the near future, naturally without legislation. We feel forcing a ban could be more negatively impactful to smaller businesses, those with less economic means, and minorities who may be less likely able to replace their gas power blowers. As an industry with likely the largest use of gas-powered leaf blowers, we ask to be included in the discussion and or any work group created to formulate future initiatives aimed at increasing battery-powered engines and or banning of gas-powered models. Our connection to the National Landscape Contractors Association and the Outdoor Power Equipment Institute can help provide data to help a work group come up with an appropriate city policy to help maintain the goal of replacing gas-powered leaf blowers with battery models without an outright ban. Please accept our offer to participate in any work group that is formed out of this ordinance if passed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Mary Pivito. I'm the Executive Director of Neighbors for Clean Air. Thank you, Mayor Wheeler, for this opportunity and all the commissioners, and especially Commissioner Fish, for your work on this and your staff's work. I'm here today to express my support for this resolution to ban gas-powered leaf blowers in the city operations. In the 10 years since Oregon Department of Environmental Quality's Portland Air Toxic Solutions project brought to light the problem of air contaminants in the city, very few actions actually followed that study of understanding the complexity and the ubiquitous problem of air toxics in the Portland area. And it should be interesting to note, especially today, as you already noted, Mayor Wheeler, that we have had bad air quality days. And as Commissioner Udaly mentioned too, Portland's air is often not as clean as we think. And it was interesting to note that 10 years ago, the Portland Air Toxic Solutions Project identified specifically lawn equipment as a major source of contaminants. So in that same period of time, it's become increasingly clear to me that waiting for our state government to take action is just not going to happen. So in those 10 years, very little at the state has happened. Yet in the last 12 months, the county, as you said, as you noted, has adopted their burn ban. The county and city adopted new diesel contracting standards. And this really is a great step forward to see our city and local governments taking action to protect the air quality in our neighborhoods. So I'm really heartened to see this action. I agree with the hopes and desires of people to see this as a first step towards a wider ban. It's also really heartening for me not to have to spend a lot of time telling you about why this is bad for air quality, that you have so many more people in the room now that can explain that to you. But I'm really excited to see the city taking the local action, which is really what we need to see more of, improving the health and well-being of Portland and making all of our neighborhoods places where our children can live joyfully and thrive. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Hello, my name is Michael Hall, and I'll be repeating some of what you've already heard because I've prepared this over the last couple of weeks. I'm on the board of Friendly Streets, and I'm a member of Quiet Clean PDX. And those two organizations have been working in strategic partners for the last couple of years in a campaign to eliminate all gas leaf blowers everywhere. We're here today to advocate for a transition away from gas leaf blowers at the city, county, and state levels. And for more about the damage they do to our environment and to our health, please visit our website. It's quietcleanpdx.org. A huge thank you to Commissioner Fish and to his staff, and especially Asana Lawrence. We've been working with Commissioner Fish's office for a year now, and this resolution is a great first step. We also want to thank County Commissioner Jessica Vega Peterson and State Representative Alyssa Kenny Geyer for their advocacy. It was Representative Kenny Geyer who encouraged us to write a bill for the 2019 state legislature. House Bill 3350 would have eliminated all gas leaf blowers statewide, and it got a hearing in the House Energy and Environment Committee. Representative Smith Warner and Senators Denbrough and Fagan were co-sponsors of that bill, and our gratitude extends to all supporters of our campaign. You may know that elimination of gas leaf blowers has become a national movement. Organizations such as Quiet Communities and American Green Zone Alliance have helped us and others transition from gas leaf blowers to battery-powered equipment and, where practical, hand tools. Closer to home, we have a growing list of supporters posted on our website. We work closely with Mary Pivito and Neighbors for Clean Air. We've been in conversation with the Portland Public School Board about policy changes there. Portland Japanese Gardens recently issued a position paper declaring that they want to convert to electric leaf blowers ASAP. Portland State University is transitioning to battery-powered leaf blowers, and the list goes on and on. And at last count, we counted over 170 U.S. municipalities and counties that have regulations to ban or restrict the operation of gas leaf blowers. They're an annoyance to everyone, but more than an annoyance, they generate high levels of greenhouse gases, toxic emissions, and dangerous fine particulate matter, and extreme noise. The EPA reports that noise at gas leaf blower levels causes hearing loss, increases in stress and blood pressure, and leads to tinnitus, adverse birth outcomes, and cognitive impairment of children. They're hazardous to all Portland residents, especially children, the elderly, and those with respiratory illnesses. And how about the impact of on Portland's pedestrians and bike riders, too? And the workers who use these tools are at the greatest health risk. Quiet Clean PDX has a lot of support for making an equitable citywide transition to gas leaf blower alternatives, and we're allies with Portland's frontline communities.
You've only got a couple more sentences. I
do.
See
I'm almost there.
Please go ahead and finish.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Mayor. We subscribe to the environmental justice statement of OPAL, which is environmental justice requires that all people, regardless of race, color, national origin, or income, have the same degree of protection from environmental and health hazards. So eliminating gas leaf blowers is analogous to climbing a mountain, a long, tough scramble uphill. And our thanks go out to the Portland City Council for helping us build a base camp with this resolution, and we look forward to working with you as we ascend the mountain together. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you, all three of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next three, please, Carla. Oh, I'm sorry.
The next three are Stan Pinkin, Michael Wallace, and Jess Tyler.
Stan, I feel like we should give you a bulk discount or something.
So, Mr. Mayor, Robert said you have an office reserved for me up in your office, an office space.
I believe we should.
Full benefits and everything else. Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Stan Pinkin. I'm a member of the Quiet Clean PDX team. I'm the chair of the Pearl District Neighborhood Association. I'm a board member of Neighbors West Northwest Coalition, and board secretary of Friendly Streets, where this all started some 2 years ago. But I think I speak for people across all neighborhoods who are subjected to the incessant noise and toxicity of gas blowers and would like to see them just go away. As you've already heard, and I think we all understand, gas leaf blowers are a danger to the environment and to the health and livability of all Portlanders, including those who operate them. Far too often without using the basic protections such as masks and earplugs. I see that all the time. The time has come for us to transition away from this harmful equipment, as so many other cities and municipalities have done across the nation and in other countries as well. Thanks to my dear friend and colleague, Michael Hall, who first raised this issue at Friendly Streets, and to my devoted colleagues at Quiet Clean PDX, who have helped bring the issue forward, we have today reached a momentous occasion where we can begin to do something meaningful about gas leaf blowers. The resolution before you today is an important first step in the direction of acknowledging the harmful effects of gas leaf blowers and that we can indeed address it. And while this is a significant step, we will still have many more steps to take on the journey to transition from gas to non-gas powered alternatives, such as electric and battery powered leaf blowers, electric leaf vacuums, leaf sweepers, mulching mowers, and manual tools. Yes, rakes still exist at all levels of government, city, county, state, and hopefully maybe federal someday. Thank you, Commissioner Fish, for recognizing the urgency of taking action on this issue, and to Asano Lawrence for all our hard work in helping to research and draft this resolution that, if passed today, will make a bold statement that the City of Portland cares about our environment and all its residents and is willing to make innovative decisions for the betterment of everyone. I urge you all to please vote yes on this important step. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Hello. I am Michael Wallace. I'm a member of the Noise Review Board, Portland's Noise Review Board, but I'm here in a personal capacity this afternoon. I wholeheartedly support Commissioner Fish's leaf blower resolution. I hope that with this and other efforts, we can eventually live in a quieter and more peaceful city. Noise is detrimental to individual and collective health and well-being. Street and park leaves and debris can be swept or raked instead of being blown from one property to another and back again. Let's have more brooms and rakes. Thank you.
Thank you. For the record, I still own a rake. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Commissioners and Mayor Wheeler. My name is Jess Tyler. I'm a Portland resident, and I represent the Center for Biological Diversity, where I'm a pollinator researcher. I'm here on behalf of myself and over 7,000 members in Portland to express my support for this resolution. Gas-powered leaf blowers have many negative effects, as outlined by previous speakers. I, however, want to highlight the negative impacts to urban wildlife, especially insect pollinators. Many people don't realize, but urban areas, including Portland, are critical refuges for our pollinators because many gardens provide pesticide-free habitat and flowers that feed bees. Right here in Portland, we have dozens of species of native bees, but native bees are in steep decline around the nation, and we must do what we can to protect them from extinction. Native bumblebees are, right now, hibernating for the winter in leaf litter and loose soil all around the city of Portland. And when leaf material is removed, bees can be swept up and killed. The excessive use of leaf blowers removes topsoil and organic leaf material, which provides essential winter nesting habitat for the majority of native bees. Encouraging more natural, unmanaged landscaping cuts down the use of leaf blowers, and leaving the leaves provides nesting habitat and food for pollinators and many other soil invertebrates. Noise pollution from gas-powered leaf blowers also is known to harm both humans and wildlife. For birds, noise pollution is known to damage hearing, increase stress response, and alter foraging and other behaviors. City ecosystems are vitally important to many insects and birds because they can provide better food and nesting habitat than many intensive agricultural areas outside the city. Several endangered butterflies rely on habitat entirely within cities. Portland supports a great diversity of pollinating insects and birds, but their habitat is degraded by removing organic material and introducing toxic compounds. Gas-powered leaf blowers especially release more nitrous oxides than cars, and this type of atmospheric nitrogen has been linked to vegetative community change, which can decrease the amount of food plants for butterflies and pollinators. This resolution also supports Portland's climate action goals and is an important first step towards harm reduction for people and wildlife. Transitioning away from gas leaf blowers demonstrates Portland's leadership on environmental and social issues. I ask the Commission to support this resolution. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for that interesting perspective on this. You know, Commissioner Udaly pushed us really hard during our 2035 Central City planning process to expand the green roof ordinance that we have in place here at the city. And I noticed that a lot of developers are using those green roofs for pollinators. And I had the opportunity, I had some out of town guests that were here over Thanksgiving. We went down to the Nines Hotel, and they had a great big honeycomb sitting there in the middle of the restaurant. I said, well, where did that come from? And they said it came from the roof. And they actually have an entire beekeeping operation up on the roof in order to expand pollinators, and they also have a green roof. And so there's something of a symbiotic relationship. But that's really, I think, important to make that broader, the broader point that you made, and I appreciate your being here to do it. I thank all three of you. Commissioner Fritz.
I just also want to thank you for all of that interesting information. Thank you all. But in particular, now I'll be able to, instead of looking out and thinking, oh gosh, I need to go pick up all those leaves, think, oh, I'm going to leave all that nice habitat for the bees. Thank you very much for giving me permission to stay inside.
I'd also like to jump in and just say I have told PBOT that I want to turn every property that we own that can't be used for a road or otherwise developed or into pollinator planting areas. They might think I'm kidding, but I'm not. So we should talk.
I think I know where you can get 7,000 volunteers.
Yeah. That's
yeah, thanks.
Very
thank you.
Exciting.
And thanks, all three of you. Stan, it's good seeing you again, as always. Thank you for being here. Next three, please, Carla.
These are the last three who signed up. Mary Sipe, Bob Solinger and Daniel, I believe the last name is Luke.
And if there's anybody else who wanted to testify and didn't have a chance, if you could just see Carla here as well. Thank you. Mary, would you
good
like
afternoon.
To start us off?
I almost said good morning. I'm usually here in the morning. My name's Mary Seip, and I hope I can get an office next to Stan's. Since I'm here so often. I just want to commend the city for taking this step to reduce the greenhouse emissions and the air pollution and noise pollution. I think taking the lead is really important. And if the city can do it, then I think the private citizens can do it too. And you all know me from my work with noise and my concerns over the years about the serious health hazards related to noise. And this is kind of like a double whammy. You know, it's noise pollution, but it's also air pollution. And we're kind of getting two birds with one stone by addressing this issue. It's interesting because I heard the words annoyance and nuisance used, and every time I hear that, it bothers me because I think it minimizes how serious these issues are. It's more than an annoyance and a nuisance. It's a health hazard. And again, it's a double whammy health hazard. And I really appreciate the testimony of the other people that came. And one of the suggestions I'd like to make is that the work group take the information on that slide presentation and use that to maybe create a campaign to start promoting a voluntary transition to battery-operated and electric blowers rather than having people wait until it becomes an ordinance. I think, the bottom line is it's the right thing to do, period. Thank you.
Well said. Thank you. Good afternoon, Bob.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler and members of the Portland City Council. My name is Bob Solinger. I'm the Conservation Director for Portland Audubon Society. We're here today to support this resolution. We really appreciate the work of Commissioner Fish and Asena. For all the reasons that you've already heard today, for human health, because of the noise impacts, because of the climate impacts, because of the particulate matter, this makes total sense. And I would also add to that, disturbance factors as well. When we use these really noisy leaf blowers in parks, it has a wildlife impact as well, especially if you're talking about like things like breeding songbirds and birds that are passing through. So we should be aware of those ecological impacts. I think the gentleman who was speaking in the last panel was alluding to the fact that we shouldn't be afraid of messy parks either. That leaf litter has real ecological value, and I think we need to be more comfortable with the idea of leaving things like that in our parks. It's part of the natural environment, and we shouldn't be afraid of it. We don't want parks that are absolutely sterile, and so it adds value, and there are places we could do less and gain more, and we should be thinking about that. I would just end by saying that, I think sometimes there's a tendency to look at these things and say, these problems are so big. Why are we focusing on something like leaf blowers? I mean, first of all, as the testimony today speaks to, they actually are a big problem. They're not a small problem. They're a big problem. But even if they're not, these small steps, this is how we get our heads around and our hands around these huge ecological problems. It's these small steps and a lot of them. And I'm really heartened now. I mean, I go to these restaurants now and I see signs up saying that if you want a ketchup container or a plastic fork or a straw, you have to ask for it. And that's how we shift our culture, the fact that you have to start thinking about your ecological impact, these small things and bigger things add up to the change we actually need. So thank you for your work on this.
Thank you.
It's a good day when Bob comes and sings our praises.
I'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah, I know.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Daniel Luke, and I'm a local inventor. And so I guess by now the depredations of the leaf blower are hopefully fairly familiar to everyone. I want to add one other thing to the list, which is they're actually slow, and they're not really all that great at blowing. I guess they're good at blowing leaves, but they're not really good at collecting leaves. So, but they might be the default because the only other alternative up until now has been the regular rake, which also has certain issues and problems. So as an inventor, I've worked to correct some of those issues, and I just want to put it on people's radar that there is another option available as of now to the whole leaf blower dust up, which is a rake that's far more powerful than a regular rake. It's a manual. It's incredibly affordable. It's durable. And you don't have to bend your back at all to use it. And I'm really eager to show people and city government how it works. I have shown it to a few people. I think some people here that are present are familiar with what I'm talking about. As I went out to Wilshire Park recently and demonstrated its use for a few minutes. But anyway, I've also gone head-to-head with gas-powered leaf blowers, the kind that commercial crews use. And in every case, it really hasn't been a contest between my invention and their leaf blower. I've also done timed tests with me and my rake against leaf blowers in a lot of different situations. It's probably not going to be believable, but in each case, I was able to beat the leaf blower. I cut the time in half in terms of raking a yard, getting a pile of leaves, moves a certain distance. I'm not saying that leaf blowers don't have their use case. I suppose they're good for, and maybe superior for blowing grass clippings off of sidewalks. But when it comes to actually blowing leaves, getting leaves moved from one place to another, they're really not all that effective. Compared to my rake. So I call it the rocket rake, and it's a two-handled rake, and the world has seen nothing like it up to this point. It's incredibly effective, and the people that have seen it would attest to the fact that it works incredibly well.
Oh. Excellent.
I'm going to look into it, and thank you for making the point that these blowers just blow. They don't actually collect the leaves. And that's another of the reasons for my amendment, is that if people realize they can blow them around on their own property, but they actually are going to have to dispose of those leaves themselves. So the rocket rake, is that what you call it?
Yeah. Is there any way I could show anyone here?
I'm going to be looking it up as soon as I get out of the office, back to the office.
So looking for what?
Do you have it on a website?
I have in my car.
Sir, if you could leave your contact information with Commissioner Fritz's office, and someone will get back to you.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks very much.
She's going to put an offer out for 50% of your company, but she runs a tough bargain.
Hold out for
you Daly's offer. That's my only advice.
I actually live in an area that doesn't have leaf collection, and so it's me for on the weekend every week for months picking up my leaves. So any help would be very much appreciated.
Could I say one more thing since I didn't use all my time? Commissioner Fritz, you had a really good point about the blowing into the street, because one of the things, we call these leaf blowers, but they blow lots of things besides leaves. And like in our neighborhood in the Pearl District, cigarette butts. What happens is they get blown with the leaves into the street, and then they float into the storm drains. If you walk through the neighborhood and you look at the storm drains, you will see hundreds of cigarette butts that are now on their way into our rivers and streams and ocean.
Yeah, and thanks to the Pearl District and the Neighborhood Association and all the folks there who worked hard on the cigarette butt disposal boxes. That's really good news, and we appreciate that leadership. Thank you. Thanks for your testimony. Thank you, Bob. Good to see you again. Next three, please, Carla.
That's all who signed up.
All right, very good.
Santa Lawrence, anything, any final words?
Just a few questions.
Right here. I think we're good to go. It's a resolution. Carla, please call the roll.
You Daly?
Well, thank you, excuse me, Commissioner Fish and Asena and your whole team. Very happy to support this and even more excited to take it the next step further. I vote aye.
Fritz?
Commissioner Udaly and I just met with Professor Klukas's class before this meeting, and we had a discussion about the pros and cons of the commission form of government. And this is actually an example of one of the pros of the commission form of government. When I was in charge of parks, I took a run at asking them about getting rid of gas-powered leaf blowers, and I was told, oh, no, Commissioner, we can't do that. I'm sorry, that's just not possible. We do all this stuff, blah, blah, blah. So then new commissioner in charge of parks, new parks director, new approach. And lo and behold, Commissioner Fisher's come up with something that the Parks staff has embraced. I'll make sure that the Water Bureau does as well, and I really appreciate it. I think there's a lot of enthusiasm on the council. Commissioner Udaly, when I was listening to about the neighborhood tool libraries, you know, it occurs to me that I know that the Office of Community and Civic Life has a small grant program, and there's already a component of equity in who gets those grants. It would be great to add the climate crisis being another of the criteria, because you know, those, it would be really just great for the neighborhood tool libraries to be able to get city money to purchase one that their neighbors could share of the battery-operated electric ones. Commissioner Fisher, as you're continuing to work on this, and Senna, it occurred to me that the ones that the bureaus are going to get rid of, we should make sure that they're destroyed before that they are disposed of. I'm thinking of guns and such. So basically smashing off the plastic bits so that if they did end up at a recycling shop, or somebody might find them in the recycling bin and think, oh, I'll take myself a nice free blower, they actually can't use it, and make sure that we don't get into the situation like we do with diesel trucks, that because Oregon has lower standards than California and Washington, that we get all their dirty leftovers. So I'll personally volunteer to come and smash some of them up. It'll be really fun. Thank you very much to everybody who wrote in. You know, there's a number of you who took the time to come in today. Dozens and dozens of emails and telephone calls on this issue. So it's really something that I think a lot of people have found a minor irritation over time, or a major irritation over time, or a huge annoyance over time. But sometimes we think, oh, in the grand scheme of things, perhaps I should get over my annoyance. Actually, in the grand scheme of things, this is a really big problem for our planet. And I appreciate I've learned a lot this afternoon and all the good work. Aye.
Fish.
Well, I'd like to start by thanking a number of people who helped get us here today. Obviously, our invited testimony and our kitchen cabinet, County Commissioner Vega Peterson, Representative Alyssa Kenny Geyer and Jason Trombley, Michelle Krim and the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, Brian and Perrin Stewart, Michael Hall and Queen, A Quiet, Clean Portland, Mary Pavetto and Neighbors for Clean Air, Kelly Barnes, Cameron Stewart, Relay Resources, Osmani Alcaraz, Ochoa and Vose, Stan Pankin, Bob Salinger, and others. Thank you all for your extraordinary efforts to get us to this day. I would also like to give a special shout out to Sheila Panyon. Sheila was our summer policy intern last year and this year. Two summers ago, she helped us shape our moonlighting policy. And this past summer, she delved deep into leaf blower research. We are grateful for her immense help. I'd like to finish with thanking my two bureaus, the Bureau of Environmental Services and the Parks Bureau, for stepping up and accepting the challenge. City bureaus will demonstrate the efficacy of transitioning to electric and battery-operated models. And in the near future, we intend to find a legal and equitable path to eliminate the use of gas-powered leaf blowers in Portland. Thank you all for your efforts, and a special thank you to Asena Lawrence, who has handled this soup to nuts and done a superb job, as always. I'm very proud to vote aye.
Wheeler.
I'm very happy to support this resolution, and I want to thank Commissioner Fish and Asena Lawrence and the diligent work of your team. I thought this was a fantastic presentation today. I actually love presentations like this, where I feel like I'm walking out with a much deeper and richer understanding of the issue. I was prepared to support this to begin with, but also hearing some of the statistics about the carbon output of gas-powered leaf blowers compared to pickup trucks, those are astounding statistics. And also to hear some of the broader perspectives, we heard from the gentleman who's here supporting the pollinators, and we heard about some of the perspectives about the importance of leaves. We heard from Mary and others about the physiological and public health impacts of these leaf blowers as well. And you know, I'm going to go with Bob Salinger on this, who says this really is big. And the reason it's big is because the city has to show the leadership here first. We cannot ask the private sector to take actions that we are not prepared to take ourselves. So I see this as a very important and a very necessary first step. I also want to acknowledge our partners that Commissioner Fish had identified and asked to testify up front, Jessica Vega Peterson in Multnomah County, for their hard work, particularly on the public health aspects of this, and Representative Alyssa Kenny-Geyer and her team and the efforts that they've undertaken down in Salem to seek broader support for these types of policies. But here around this rostrum, it's our duty to act locally and responsibly and with a sense of urgency. And I thank you again, Commissioner Fish, for bringing us a resolution that does just that. I vote aye, the resolution's adopted. Thank you. Next item is time certain, right on time. Item number 1124.
Appoint Elliot Young, Amy Anderson, Marcia Perez, Steve Trujillo, and Britton Masbach to the Portland Committee on Community Engaged Policing.
Colleagues, earlier this year, I appointed six new members to the Portland Committee on Community Engaged Policing, sometimes called PCEP. Amy Anderson, Vadim Mazursky, Marcia Perez, Steve Trujillo, Elliot Young, and Britton Masbach. Today, I'm requesting that you approve. I've lost my quorum. We'll take a recess. Each new member has gone through a rigorous selection process, including a written application, two interviews, and various trainings in collaboration with the Mental Health Alliance, the Albina Ministerial Alliance, Coalition for Justice and Police Reform, and the Portland Police Bureau. These individuals bring with them their lived experience as members of a marginalized community and their lived experience with mental or physical health issues. They also bring interpersonal skills, experience working within and advocating for marginalized communities, and experience utilizing social services and engaging in government processes. Throughout the past year, PCEP has worked to create meaningful recommendations to help bolster community engagement and trust within the Portland Police Bureau. These recommendations have included partnering with researchers to determine effective scheduling practices as part of a holistic approach to officer wellness, establishing a training program aimed at reducing stress and promoting officer resilience, PPB and Portland Police Bureau engagement of a wide range of communities regarding wellness practices, including tribal councils in the Portland metro area, establishing a Truth and Reconciliation Commission working group to research various models and develop a plan to create a commission that's responsive to both the history and the current needs of Portland. After a year of working to achieve the desired outcomes of equitable policing, which exceeds constitutional requirements, and meaningful community engagement with and trust in Portland Police Bureau, the Portland Police Bureau, the PCEP has functioned independently as a body guided by the community. PCEP has sought to obtain information from a variety of Portland community members and stakeholders to create greater access to information for the community. This is at the core of what PCEP does. They solicit information, create a platform for that information to be disseminated, and allow that information to guide their collective work as an autonomous body. With the support of City Council, PCEP will continue to grow their work to help cultivate the growth of trust and equity within the Portland Police Bureau and build the community relationship. The members of the PCEP are Portland community members first and foremost. They're connected to this city and they're invested deeply in increased reciprocity, accountability, and trust through their recommendations. Here with us today are Theo Latta, who's the PCEP Project Director, and Robert King, who's my Senior Policy Advisor on Public Safety, and they're going to introduce our newest PCEP members. Come on up and welcome. Thank you for being here.
Give us a couple more chairs.
Okay. Theo, I think you're starting us off. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Very good.
I have a few prepared comments that I'll read from.
Yes, sir.
It's an honor to be with you all and share this space with you. My name's Theo Lada. I'm the PSET project director. Just to introduce myself, because I've never met any of you folks before, but I'm a father. To a boy named Sage. I'm indigenous. I'm a researcher. And I have the pleasure of introducing these fine humans to you all. Although I've only been with the city of Portland for the past 4 months, which is a very brief time, I've had the pleasure of working with these folks for the majority of those months. You all have their bios in front of you, so I won't read those. But it's important that you know how passionate these people are and how hard these volunteers work toward achieving more equitable policing. Aside from what you have in front of you, these members give their time and energy to improving the Portland community. Vadim, for example, is meticulous and thorough. As the new secretary of PSEP, we will continue to rely on his expertise in everything SAP, which is the Settlement Agreement and Policy from the Department of Justice, and his expertise. Elliot here is constantly aiming to improve PSEP and access information. As the new chair alternate, people look to him as an advocate. Britt here is an impressive human. For all he has accomplished in his role as a youth subcommittee chair and as a high school student, he consistently facilitates meetings in a kind and inclusive manner, which I think is a testament to his character. Steve, who isn't here, has been a constant that people depend on. He has a hand in many of the subcommittee meetings and speaks with honesty and integrity. Amy, who's seated right beside me, has attended meetings of PSEP since its inception. Amy asks tough questions and works hard at all times. Marcia, who is out of the country and couldn't be here, works personally and professionally to improve the justice system, especially among youth. And I have the pleasure of working with Robert and Nicole all the time. Each of these people are Portland community members first, as Mayor Wheeler stated, who serve on PSEP because they believe that like-minded people can change our community for the better. I sincerely thank you all for taking time to meet us, and I invite you and encourage you all to come to our subcommittee meetings or the general body meetings that are open to all. Like I said, I haven't been here for very long, but one of the more striking questions that I've heard throughout my time at the city has been, who are we most accountable to? Before this, I worked at Native American nonprofits and in education. At PSEP, even though we are a city program who often collaborate with an array of interested parties, we are most accountable to our community, and that's the Portland community. And I think I can speak for PSEP in saying that. I thank you all for having us. I know that all the PSEP members and PSEP staff would like very much to work with you all in the future. Thank you. And thank you. If you all have questions for me, I'd be happy to answer questions for these wonderful humans. I'm sure they would do the same.
I mean, I have a question for Ryo. Where did you get that bicycle helmet?
I'm embarrassed to say Amazon.
Oh no. That's a really good bicycle helmet.
Yeah.
Do any of you like to take a moment to say anything?
Sure.
To
yeah, usually. Yeah.
Thank you.
Different folks.
First of all, I want to say thank you for giving me this opportunity to kind of like put another notch in my cap around the different kinds of committees that I've been on in the 22 years I've been serving our community. This year represents, well, next year will be 23 years with the Multnomah County Sheriff's Department. And Amanda Fritz, thank you for that opportunity with PCOD all those years ago and WILDEC. And I'm hoping that my work on this group will be just as enthusiastic as it was then and as it continues to be now, that I'm actually working for my community. So thank you all for this opportunity, and I will serve you till my time is up. Thank you.
I just want to thank you for your ongoing dedication to doing the right thing in our community and for many, many years of dedication and volunteering. So I'm really glad to see that we're finally paying you, or somebody's finally paying you.
Yes.
So as well, but also then a special thanks for stepping up for this additional volunteer opportunity. Thank you.
I have one question.
Yes.
When we all went before Judge Simon recently, uh-huh. and in the context of the settlement agreement and wanting to come into what's called legally substantial compliance with the settlement agreement, the concern that he expressed, he liked the people on PSEP, and he liked the agenda that was being pursued by PSEP, I believe, although I didn't specifically ask him, that he was convinced that PSEP has adequate independence. There was a lot of suspicion initially that somehow I was going to pull strings, and I think all you need to do is look at people's Twitter feeds, and you can see the independence is clearly there. But what he wasn't persuaded by was that we have done enough to really encourage broader public participation. And so I know that precipitated some conversations amongst PSEP members and the committee as a whole. I'm wondering if you have thought about that, whether you have a sense of how we might further engage the community, how we might improve more participation in the community with the work, the important work that's being done by the members of PSEP.
Well, if you're asking me directly, I think at this point in time, I have enough experience in that world of trying to get people to come to a meeting and participate and belong. And what I've seen over the years is folks have felt that their voice doesn't land anywhere. It comes in, but they can't really see where it becomes real. And so what I learned to do on the Multnomah County Mental Health Committee that I chaired for 7 years was explain to folks that all the programs that we operate throughout the county and the city, the things that people come up with are within those plans. They're within strategic planning. They're within the operations of the programs. It's just not spelled out that this individual gave that input and here it becomes, you know, functioning. People need to know that their words matter and that they can see it become something. That's kind of the attachment I've seen, that folks really want to know that all this time and energy is going to end up producing better results for them. That's my personal take on getting people. The other thing is advertising. We don't do it early enough and often enough, okay? And then there's childcare, there's transportation, there's commitments that people have. So we at the various groups I'm on have decided to go with multiple formats of input, like PSEP is doing, where you have access to the internet, you have access to writing, you have access to being publicly there. So I don't see many other opportunities. If people want to participate, we just need to let them know that these are the ways your voice and your thoughts will be taken into our consideration for future movement to your office. So this is kind of my personal take, but I'll let
That's great feedback.
Chime in.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, that all certainly makes sense, Amy. And then like one thing that the youth subcommittee is doing, for example, is not even, I mean, we are sort of thinking about how can we get more youth to the table coming to our subcommittee meetings, but also thinking about how can we go to where this work is actually happening. So we're trying to go to other events that are being led by young people. We're trying to go to other youth groups and talk about how we, with our platform, can help the work that they're already doing. So to sort of amplify that and to be involved in the work that's already happening so that we're not always trying to just make new work. We're trying to make sure we can, it's the most efficient and that we're spreading the impact of our respective work and the resources that we have. So that's one thing that we're trying to make an effort of doing as a youth subcommittee, going to these other youth events and youth groups and being part of their work.
That's great.
Yeah. Thank you.
Real quick, the youth subcommittee is also in the process of designing and disseminating a survey throughout PPS schools, which I think will be incredible in obtaining information and engagement. I think that people coming to meetings isn't necessarily the most powerful parameter of measuring engagement and community buy-in, but I think the survey is going to be really great for more buy-in. And Britt, I'm sure, could talk about that more if
yeah, you're on to something there. And I agree with you that finding ways to reach out to the community, mm-hmm. I mean, people are busy. They just have a million things to do. And having attended the meetings, I think they're really great. There's some smart people around that table and the conversations run deep and people don't seem like they're editing themselves. It seems like people are being really based in truth. And experience, and the dialogue is always a healthy one. And so reaching out through other affiliations, other community groups, trying to, the idea of a survey of youth, I think that's a terrific idea. Yeah, that's good. Great. Any other questions?
Well, I would just add that I think a lot of our meetings have been reporting and having information sessions, and I think when we move on to actually making recommendations and take more action is when the community could see maybe more of a stake in what we're doing. Because frankly, the people who come are oftentimes the activists who do know and are well aware of the issues. And so we're rehearsing them, we're discussing them for each other. But I think that as we move on to, and it's taken, I think, PSAP a year of getting going, and finally now I feel like PSAP is ready to take on some recommendations, not only about the settlement agreement, which is central, but you know, exceeding beyond the constitutional and legal parameters, moving to issues which we've talked about discriminatory policing, targeting policing, about Portland street response, which I think many of us are very encouraged by. The City Council approved the pilot project for. So I'm hopeful that we could move from listening to doing.
Great.
Thank you. And I do want to echo what you said, Mayor Wheeler, is that our task is twofold. It's not only to receive information from the public, but actually go out and get that information ourselves and to assist the police bureau in formatting their outreach plan. And to that respect, we had a conversation yesterday with a compliance officer as to ways where we can better be more effective in doing that. And reaching out to where people gather, whether it be in the neighborhoods and houses of worship, in meetings that are held out there, and breaking bread and breaking barriers and those sort of organizations, to go out there, spread the word, get information, and ask them to come and provide testimony themselves in person. And that's our long-term plan as well.
Very good. And could I ask one more question, and then I'll stop? I shouldn't be asking my own panel questions, but I can't miss the opportunity. Do you feel that there is adequate opportunity for the police bureau to have their experience and their concerns vetted on PSEP? Do you believe that perspective is getting through? And do you believe that the interaction with the police bureau is sufficient? Or should there be something more that's done there?
Well, the police, our representatives are at all of our meetings, the full body meetings. We've had subcommittee meetings specifically with the GVRT team. So I think that there is a lot of communication with the official police bureau. The one area which I think we could improve upon is that the charge requires the police bureau to provide data to PSEP, and that has not currently happened. I mean, there's publicly available data, but I'm talking about the raw data, data that the city auditor has asked for in the 2018 report and then followed up. And so that's something that I'm particularly concerned about, that we get this data so that we ourselves could analyze it and have an informed, not anecdotal, but really informed opinion and view on what's going on in the city with policing.
That makes sense. Robert, could you and I have a follow-on conversation about that? Great, thank you. Great, thank you. Any further questions, thoughts? Very good. Call the roll. Oh, actually, I need a motion. It's a report. Sorry.
So moved.
Second.
Commissioner Fish moves the report. Commissioner Udaly seconds it. Please call the roll.
Udaly.
Well, thank you, everyone, for your willingness to give your time to PSEP. I am sure it will be worthwhile, but I know it's also going to be very challenging. So I admire your courage and fortitude. I vote aye.
Fritz.
Thank you very much for putting in a lot of time already and then being willing to be appointed and actually serve officially. Thank you. Aye.
Fish.
Yes, thank you for your service. I think this is among the most challenging assignments that the city can ask someone to accept. We are heading into a contract negotiation period. We are launching a number of experiments. We're trying to do some things differently. It's very important for the success of our work that PSEP be high functioning and feel that they can, on a regular basis, interact with the council and propose reforms and ideas So it makes your service all the more important, and thank you for that. Aye.
Wheeler?
Yes, and I want to just reiterate, anytime you feel that you need more or different communication with my office, it would be my expectation you would not hesitate to let me know that or to let Robert know that as my liaison. I also want to thank you for your service. This is a very, very important committee, and it is a challenging subject. It is one that runs deep. There's a lot of history behind it. There's a lot of emotion behind it. And my observation over the last year plus has been that this committee has dealt with difficult policing issues responsibly and with dignity and with honesty and integrity. And I'm really grateful for what you've done and your continued interest in serving for those of you who are continued. And I thank those of you who are new for stepping up to the plate. And I hope you find it not only a fulfilling experience, but I also hope you find it's fun. There's a lot of good things that are happening in that room, and I want to continue to encourage it in any way I can. I vote aye. The report's accepted. The appointments are approved. Thank you all. And we're adjourned.